Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, The Making of a Worshipper, from the series Exodus, examining why it's so impressive to watch someone repair broken items and exploring what this fascination says about our perception of God's transformative power in our lives. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
I am so fascinated with people that are able to take things that are broken and put them together. Whether they're using their hands or whether they're using tools to do something. And probably the reason that I'm so impressed with that is that I can't do it. I don't have a toolbox at my house. I don't spend time putting stuff together. I like watching shows where people do that. In a half an hour, they can do more than I could do in my entire lifetime. But there's something about seeing things get put together that were needed to be assembled or that were broken that come together. And all of a sudden you're like, that looks fantastic. It happened to me again yesterday. My wife had bought a new basketball goal for our house, and she had told me yesterday morning, hey, why don't you put that together before noon? And I thought, okay, I'll call my father-in-law. So I called him really fast, and he said, what about like 1 o'clock? And I said, well, what about now? You might want to come over sooner. And so he did, and he and my son put everything together. I held the instructions for a while and held the poles up while they screwed different things in and made me feel like I was a part of it. And before noon, this whole basketball goal was finished. It looked awesome. And I thought, good job, guys. Because I'm so impressed to see something that was in pieces get put back together. Let me tell you, the God of the universe, that's his job. He takes what is broken and he assembles it and he puts it together and uses it for his glory. He does that on an individual basis with every single sinner that's willing to repent and trust him. He also does that with his church family when his church family will allow him to assemble it correctly. We've been studying the book of Exodus, what God's plan for deliverance is and how he brings freedom and joy to his followers. And in the first chapter, we took a look at how desperate and dire the circumstances were for Israel at the time. And then in chapter 2 last week, we took a look at God's orchestration, that he's the master conductor, that he had a plan for all of it before the foundation of the world. And we studied the life of Moses, taking a look at what can we learn about how God orchestrates things. Today, we're going to look in chapter 3 of when he orchestrates things, what is he looking for? How does he put us together? How does he put a church together? And I want to tell you from the get-go that God has a workshop that he likes to have, and it's a workshop for worshipers. God wants to put together people who worship his holy name. Now, many of you, when you think about worship, you think about church, or you think about religion, or you think about singing songs, or you think about a certain style or a liturgy. But worship is giving all that you know of yourself to all that you know of the living God, as is revealed in the scriptures. You may remember the story where Jesus met the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, often called the woman at the well, because that's right where he met her. He had to go through Samaria. He had to meet this woman. He needed to see her. And when she was talking, she started talking about religion, like many of us talk about religion, like, hey, you Jews worship on that mountain and we worship on this mountain over here. But one day when the Messiah comes, he'll tell us where to worship. And Jesus begins to answer her questions, telling her, it's not a question of who or a question of where, it's a question of who. And he talks about what the Father is looking for. And in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, he says this, John chapter 4, 23 and 24. He says, but an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. What is God looking for? Of all the things he wants from you, of all the things he's looking for, what is he looking for? He's looking for worshipers. He wants you to give all that you know of yourself to all that you know of him, as is revealed in the scriptures. And that's what we're going to see when he begins to call Moses for his life call and what he wants. And when you see the making of a worshiper and you see God's workshop, you'll see what God is trying to do in your life. And oftentimes we think about, well, what's a worshiper? Like, what do you want from me? If you've ever asked that question, God has an answer for you today. I encourage you to open your Bible up to Exodus chapter 3. We'll be going through that today and taking a look at four things that God is looking for when he's talking about the kind of worshiper that he is seeking. You remember in chapter 2, we left off that God was taking notice of Israel. They've been in bondage for 400 years. Just to bring you up to speed, we saw at the beginning all the things that have been happening. We saw Moses's birth. Then we fast forwarded about 36 years. So he's 40 years old at the time that he kills a man and has to flee to Midian. Now we're fast forwarding again in chapter 3 about another 40 years. Moses is about 80 years old at this time. We've traversed through a lot of ground very quickly. And here's where it picks up. It says, now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. Point number one is this: God is looking for those who reverence the glory and holiness of Christ. God is looking for, he's seeking out those who reverence the glory and the holiness of Christ. Now take a look at what Moses is doing. He's pasturing the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. He's probably been doing this for a period of about 40 years. He grew up in Egypt. He grew up in the palace. Now he's shepherding. That's what he's doing. And nothing in the text gives us any indication that he's unhappy doing that. He's just doing his job. He's shepherding. Let me ask you a question. What's he going to be doing for the rest of his life? He's going to be shepherding an entire nation. What does it mean? God doesn't waste anything that you're doing for what he's calling you to do. Let me say it again. God is not wasting anything that you are doing for what he is calling you to do. Sometimes, like, my kids will ask me, Dad, when am I ever going to use this in life? And here's my answer. Probably never. You probably won't do the Pythagorean theorem ever. I don't use it on a regular basis. But what you will use is the disciplines that you're learning to study the Pythagorean theorem, and that God is the one that created all the angles and shapes and all those different things that you'll be aware of for the rest of your life. But no matter what you're doing, God is using it. If it's a trial, if it's a joy, if it's a difficult circumstance, if it's a short season, if it's a long season, make no mistake about it. God does not waste anything that you're doing. Moses is learning to pasture sheep for like 40 years, thinking, okay, this is a good life. This is all I'll be doing. And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Horeb is going to be used all the time through the book of Exodus. When you see Horeb, it's synonymous with the word Mount Sinai. Horeb is Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is Horeb. That's what he's talking about. So he's coming to this place, Mount Sinai, where he's going to get the law delivered to him later, where the people are going to come worship later. It's a significant spot. And notice who meets him there. It says the angel of the Lord appeared to him. The angel of the Lord. Well, who is that? There's a lot that could be said here. We could preach a whole sermon on who's the angel of the Lord. I believe that every time in the Old Testament where we see the angel of the Lord, it is a theophany. It is the pre-incarnate Christ. It is prior to Jesus putting on flesh in the New Testament. It is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, who is going to be the one speaking to him. You say, well, how do you know that? Jesus told the religious leaders in his day, you study the scriptures because you think that in them you have life. Yet these are the scriptures. What were the scriptures? The Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures. Yet these are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Jesus was saying everything in the book from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21 is a testimony of me. Everything you see go on, that's me. When God created the world and he spoke it into existence, that was Jesus Christ speaking the world into existence. When God brought down fire from heaven, that was Jesus bringing fire down from heaven. Everything we read about in the Old Testament, this is Jesus in the bush. I'll show you how I know that later with some other context clues, but I take it to be Jesus. And he's in the midst of this bush and he looked and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. Now, if you're in a desert and it's 120 plus degrees, it would not be uncommon to see a bush that's burning. Moses had been pasturing sheep for a number of years. He would have seen burning bushes. What was interesting about this bush is while this bush was burning, it wasn't being consumed. This bush is just staying the way it is. The leaves are still on the bush. It's still green. It's on fire, but nothing's happening to it. And he says, this is marvelous. I've never seen it. What's going on? This is unlike anything that I have ever seen. Can I just tell you, God is unlike anyone or anything that you have ever seen. Amen? So he turns aside to take a look. And when he gets there, here's what he hears. It says, when he turned aside, when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing the message, The Making of a Worshipper, from the series Exodus, examining why it's so impressive to watch someone repair broken items, and exploring what this fascination says about our perception of God's transformative power in our lives. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is BravePastorJeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
He says his name twice to be endearing, like Moses, my son. Moses, the one I created. Moses, the one I want to have relationship with. Moses, the one I have a destiny for. Moses, Moses. And when he hears the endearing voice of the Lord, what's he say? Here I am. Right? I mean, that's a good response in worship. When God calls your name, here I am. When you hear God speak, here I am. That's what he says. Now, oftentimes, we approach God the way Moses is going to approach God. We're way too cavalier with worship. And I'm not talking about style of worship. I've grown up in so many different traditions and have worshiped in so many different places. I've been in Lutheran churches where they chant back and forth, and I know how to do that. I've been in Catholic mass. I know when to stand up and sit down. I know what to say. I've seen God show up in all sorts of different liturgies. God doesn't come to Brave more because we have the right liturgy. God shows up at Brave because we exalt Jesus Christ as the living God. That's why, right? But Moses is going to be pretty cavalier with God like most of us are, because we've been taught that Jesus is our friend and that's about all he is. Now, the Bible says in John 15, I have called you friends. We are friends of God. We are his friends. But the pendulum has swung so much that we sometimes view Jesus as no more than just a benevolent buddy down the street. Like, yeah, he's perfect and he's good and he's fun to have as a neighbor. And if you're in trouble, go ahead and call on him. But we miss on the glory and the holiness of God. So he says, Moses, Moses, he says, here I am. He starts walking towards God, and notice what he says. Verse 5, then he said, do not come near here. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. What's he say? Moses is like, here I am. He's like, get back. Stop coming any closer. You can't get close to me. I'm holy and you're not. There's a difference between us. I'm not like you. You come into my presence, you will be consumed. Get back. And oh, by the way, take off your sandals. Do something to show me that you recognize that my presence is holy. Now, what made the ground holy? God's presence was there. I mean, you can go see Mount Sinai today. You can go to Horeb today. I've been there. You can stand there. It's not special any different than it is here. What was special about that place was in that moment, Jesus Christ in his glory was standing right there. Get back. Why? Because he's holy and you're not. Show reverence when you worship him. That's what he was trying to say. See, when we worship God and we reverence God and we honor God, that's when we have the opportunity to put his manifest presence on display. That's when we can see him heal and deliver and save and do all the things he can do. But he wants us to know, as much as he loves us and through Christ, how we can become friends, that he's not like us at all. I mean, when we read through the book of Revelation and we taught on that a couple of years ago, you remember in Revelation chapter 1, where we see this picture of the resurrected Christ in all of his glory? and his feet are burnished in bronze and his eyes are like fire and there's a sword coming out of his mouth. And in Revelation 1:17, when John saw the fullness of the picture of Jesus, he fell at his feet as though dead. Friends, when we see the glory of God someday in the fullness of Jesus Christ, we will fall down too as though we were dead. All the power of the universe is in him. There's not a force, there's Jesus. Amen? And we need to treat him reverently. Like when we come to worship, God is looking for us to reverence his glory and his holiness, that he's distinct and we can be engrossed in Christ. He says, the place you're standing in is holy. He also said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And then Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look at God. He said, I'm the God of your fathers. I'm the God who's always been God. I'm the only God. I'm the one that created everything. You better understand who you're talking to when you talk to me. And when he got a picture of God's glory, what did he do? He's hiding from him. He's scared of him. I mean, the kind of worshipers God wants are worshipers that are captivated, engrossed, enthralled. And do you know why? Because you were created to worship God. You were created for worship. And if you don't worship him, you will find someone or something else to worship. You will. You'll exchange the truth of God for a lie. You'll worship your girlfriend or boyfriend. You'll worship your wife or your husband. You'll worship your family. You'll worship your job. You'll worship your money. You'll worship your house. You'll worship your possessions. You'll worship your neighborhood. You'll worship your status. Like tonight, you may or may not know, there's a worship service that's going to take place 9 miles north of here at Mile High at 6:20. I'll be there. People will be gathering from all over the city to come and worship. Right. And I have another. I love football. I enjoy football. I'm going to have fun being there. But I have found over the years that that's not nearly as satisfying as worshiping the Lord, because I know the Lord will never let me down. I'll stop right there. But God is looking for that. And if you go to a concert or you do whatever, you'll see people all the time with their hands raised, pagans that raise their hands, pagans that sing songs, pagans that jump around and dance. Why? Because in their heart, they were created for worship. It's just misplaced worship. And so what is God looking for? He's looking for those who will center their worship on him. You may not know what the calling is on your life. It doesn't matter that you don't know what the calling is on your life. You don't have to know every little detail. Here's what God wants you to know. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Worship the Lord and then respond however he shows you by taking the next step. That's it. If you do that on a consistent basis, all these things will be added unto you. First and foremost, we need worshipers. The first thing God wants you to become is a worshiper. Why? Because if you are not a worshiper, you will focus on yourself. I'm sorry, you'll focus on yourself rather than focusing on the Lord. If you're not a worshiper, even as a Christian man, and you're thinking about yourself, it's hard for you if you're married to love your wife. If you're a single guy and you're not a worshiper, it's hard for you to truly love who you're dating. If you're a married guy and you're focused on yourself, it's hard for you to be the parent that you need to be, the dad that you need to become. If you're focused on yourself, you can't serve anybody else. As a worshiper, you put all your attention on the Lord and you let him be the one that works in and through you. See, the problem is if you're not a worshiper, then everything else Christ demands will always seem like a burden to you. Christ makes a lot of demands in the Bible. If you're not a worshiper, anytime you hear about one of them, it'll be like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, a pastor teaches on tithing and here's what you'll think. Seriously? I mean, how do you know it's really 10% or what? Because tithe means 10th. But how do you know that? And do I really need to do that? And how can I... But if you're a worshiper and you truly believe that the one you're worshiping saved you from an eternal hell, rescued you, placed his spirit in you, gave you purpose and direction, and will be with you forever, promising you a perfect utopia and great life with him both now and forevermore, it's not an issue of should I tithe, it's how much can I do to be generous to God? It's a different question. If you're not a worshiper, right? All the other spiritual disciplines become difficult. And I don't know if I feel like serving. Well, you don't, because you're not a worshiper. If you're worshiping, you'll want to serve. If you're worshiping, you'll want to help God's people. Or how about this? And I'm not looking at anybody when I say this, because you'll all think I'm talking to you, and I'm not. I've just heard a lot of people in different small groups over the years or different counseling sessions, people say, hey, I need to read my Bible more or I need to pray more. Well, I could teach you how to read your Bible more or pray more, but that's a religious activity. If you're a worshiper, you'll want to. If you worship, you'll want to know more about the God you worship. If you worship, you'll want to spend more time with the God you worship. You'll want to pray and you'll want to read your Bible more. And what about evangelism? If you're not a worshiper, evangelism, I promise you, will feel like a task. It'll feel like, well, I'm not really a salesman and I'm not into that whole thing. I don't know that I want to go out there and make a fool of myself. I just don't know. Because let me tell you this, God's not looking for you to help make heaven more crowded. God already knows all those that are his. God knows everybody that's coming, and God's the only one that can save anybody. What's God looking for? He's not looking for more crowds. He's looking for more what? Worshipers. If you're a worshiper of God, you won't be able to keep your mouth closed about how good your God is. Evangelism's natural. Evangelism is just telling another person about how awesome the God is that's given you life in this world. Amen? Like, if you're having a hard time with spiritual disciplines, I go back to worship. Like, how's your worship? Because when you're worshiping, there's a hunger and a desire to get together with God's people to do that very thing. I mean, we've been blessed. I mean, because of COVID, we have an online platform. We literally have people that are watching today from all around the world. We love our online worshipers. Can we just give them some appreciation? We love you. And I've heard from so many of them that they wish they could be here in Denver with us. I know the people here in Denver that wish they could be here with us, but because of a sickness or an ailment or they woke up late today or whatever, they couldn't be here today. But if they had their choice, this is where they'd want to be. And I wish you could be here with us too. But I want to tell you why online is not the same as being here. It's not what God calls us to. Do you know why? Because in heaven, there's nobody that's going to sign up for the online option. That'll never happen, because you'll want to be in the presence of God and in the presence of all of his people. So while it serves a purpose, it's not the ultimate purpose. And some people have told me, Jeff, you know, I'm called to just be the church, not go to church. That's somebody that's not a worshiper. Because if you're a worshiper, you would be called to be the church and also go to church, because your heart couldn't keep you away from a worshiping community to celebrate the resurrected Christ that all of us share. Amen? That's why worship's primary. I see when there's problems in the world, when there's problems in God's word, what he goes after is he tries to find a man. And when he finds that man, he tries to get that man first and foremost to be a worshiper of his great name. Whether you're male or female, what does God want out of you? He wants you to worship him with everything you have. He wants you to give your full allegiance in every area of your life to the authority of him all the time. Amen? God is looking for those who will reverence the glory and holiness of Christ. Second is this, God is looking for those who will celebrate the mercies of Christ that result in mission. God is looking for those who will celebrate the mercies of Christ that result in mission. Aren't you thankful this morning that our God is merciful? I mean, in Lamentations 3, after Israel, they screwed up royally, and the whole book of Lamentations is all about lamenting everything they've done. There's a whole book in the Bible on it. I mean, some of us could write our own book of Lamentations. In Lamentation chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, he says, "The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Aren't you glad that God's mercy doesn't run out? His compassion for you and his people never run out, that he loves you. And when we can celebrate his mercies of Christ, it results in mission. The more you worship the Lord, the more you're going to hear his heart for the world. The more you worship Christ, the more in tune you're going to be with what Christ is trying to get done in the world. God is able to fix everything in the world, but God always is looking for somebody to fix it with. One day God's going to come, and in a moment, in a nanosecond, it's all going to be done. But until that time, he's looking for a worshiper who will worship him and then respond accordingly to what he wants. Notice what he says in verse 7. The Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings."
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, The Making of a Worshiper, from the series Exodus, examining why it's so impressive to watch someone repair broken items and exploring what this fascination says about our perception of God's transformative power in our lives. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit bravepastorjeff.com. That's bravepastorjeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.